In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yesterday, entering the doubleheader of NBA playoff action, we had the NBA draft lottery, where something notable happened in a big way, and with a bigger draft, it might have been a bigger story. As we welcome you here to hour number 2, live on this Monday as a new week begins on the early line. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. 2 more hours to go till 11 a.m. Eastern. We will look back on the weekend continuously and set the stage for a new week. And Donnie, we start with the NBA draft lottery. Is tanking dead in the NBA? Does this year in 2024 for the NBA draft really even matter? A huge upset for the number 1 overall pick as the ping pong balls bounce in the favor of the Atlanta Hawks. They had a 3% chance to get the number 1 overall selection, and Atlanta does get it. 3%, Donnie. As we looked at the odds that were set on the FanDuel Sportsbook that correlated with your percentage chance to earn whatever draft slot it was, Atlanta was 29-1, fifth longest number to get the number 1 overall pick. And the Hawks will draft first in the NBA draft coming up at the end of June.
Yeah, just need a little bit of luck here, and that's certainly what Atlanta got. Now, the question is, who are you actually going to get with that number 1 pick, and did you need the luck this year as opposed to in the next few years if you expect a much deeper draft class now? So good on the Hawks here, but also I do agree with this. I understand like how the NFL does it, but you're also in a partnership with the rest of the league with yourselves, which means you're supposed to put your best foot forward on a night-to-night basis. That doesn't happen in the NBA, and quite frankly, a lot of times it doesn't happen in Major League Baseball late in the season. What do you see a lot of times here? Let's play our starters here first half, and then when the game's a little bit closer in the fourth quarter, let's just say we're going to give some other guys looks here and they end up losing those games. So the team plays well, you get your work in, but you still lose because you get better ping pong balls. It's nice to see that you're not rewarding for being the worst team here, and Detroit winding up in the fifth overall spot here, good for the NBA at this point. That's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to have an opportunity to get number 1, but don't give them a guaranteed number 1 shot for being a bad basketball organization.
Sure, but the Detroit Pistons have had the worst lottery luck we have ever seen. Because you finished with the worst record, as Detroit did, 14-68, you were not given a 28% chance while in front of the rest of the field to have the number 1 overall pick. As we were figuring out on Friday morning, we had 4 teams anywhere between a 13-14% shot to earn that number 1 overall selection, of which Detroit was in that group of 4. But the Pistons, who finished with the worst record in last year's NBA campaign as well, fall to number 5 for a second consecutive year. Last year, debilitating because the number 1 overall pick in the NBA draft lottery was actually just the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. This year, maybe not as bad because we don't have a generational type talent going first overall, and it's perhaps the weakest NBA draft class we have seen in the last two, 3 decades by all draft evaluator perspective this year in the association. So let's run through the top 10 just to give you the order. The Atlanta Hawks pull the upset. They will draft number one overall. The Washington Wizards, second worst record, second overall pick. The Houston Rockets, for like the final 3 weeks of the NBA season, were giving the Warriors a push for that 10th and final spot into the play-in tournament. The Houston Rockets finished at 41-41 and even 500, and the Rockets will draft third overall. Again, pretty wild stuff there, DRS, in the top three.
Yeah, and that's good because you do want to have that added intrigue, but also knowing that if you play well and try to make the playoffs, that you still have an opportunity to move up in the draft, as we saw with Houston here. I like that aspect of it. Also, this draft is so bad this year. Like, Zach Edey could be a lottery pick, and also Bronny James could be justified now as a first-round pick, because who the heck else are you going to take at some of these positions late in the first round? But also, the money spends the same here, Ben. That's what I talk about. Congratulations. If you are a player entering the draft who you might not have been drafted in previous years, you could be a first-round draft pick with that guaranteed 4-year contract, something to look forward to, which is a shame because we all get excited around the NBA draft, but this draft absolutely lackluster from top to bottom.
Yeah.
So Atlanta, yes, celebrating that big win. They'll still get a quality basketball player, but even though, as you talked about with Detroit going back to 5, is it that big of a deal in this draft? Because, quite frankly, the top 5, top 10, when you look at the mock drafts, it's like,
right.
Who? Who is this? What? This guy? Yeah, there's a lot of that.
It's a really good point. We'll look at Detroit in just a moment. It's more of a representation for how the luck in the Motor City has not really been working out for the Pistons as of late when it comes to the NBA draft with such a young and talented core under Monty Williams. Where exactly is this idea of optimism going to be met with any level of expectation? But I believe I heard you say Bronny James. Some breaking news in the last 10 minutes from our guy Shams Charania of FanDuel TV and The Athletic. Sources telling Shams Bronny James is expected to stay in the 2024 NBA draft. The USC freshman has been fully cleared to play in the league as part of the fitness to play panel and will participate in all pre-draft activities starting with the draft combine in Chicago this week. Again, we'll look at the statistical performances out of Bronny James in his only year in college hoops at Southern Cal. It was not very good. Of course, he had the medical hardship this past summer, all the things that happened with his cardiac arrest episode from summer workouts at USC to even play this past year was a very positive sign. But part of the reason Bronny James is an appealing NBA draft prospect is because if you draft Bronny James, you might have a shot at landing LeBron James as well, even in the year 22 with a highly productive 21st year in the NBA. In all indications, DRS, the Lakers are going to make a full go at drafting Bronny James. They do not currently have a first-round pick or a lottery selection, of course, but they're going to make a go at getting Bronny James either in round number one with a ton of draft assets, potentially on the block in terms of trading for the future, or maybe even as a second-round selection.
Yeah, it's always interesting to bring up Bronny James because if it wasn't Bronny James as his name, it was Tom Smith. Nobody would talk about him even getting drafted at this point. But again, just shows you the depth of the name recognition and what it means to keep LeBron James happy with the Lakers and also how bad this draft is. Because you're also taking a look. Like, let's just say the Lakers trade up into the first round and do take him, right? Nobody's going to be upset with that. Like, oh my God, we just passed on a really good basketball player just to keep LeBron happy. Like, down at the bottom of the first round, like, you're going to hear guys that you never even heard of even played before. Like, how did that guy become a first round draft pick? So it might be good for the Lakers that this is the draft that Bronny James is eligible, and also that the Lakers are looking to pick him just to keep his dad happy. So it could be a perfect storm for the Lakers where you're not passing up a good basketball player. You're just keeping your team happy, and maybe that's all it takes.
And listen, there's going to be the conversation because of his name and all the stardom and attention that comes with it. Because if you had Kyle Smith playing with these kind of numbers, would he be an NBA draft prospect? 4.8 points per game in his 25 games last year at USC in less than 20 minutes of game action. He shot 36.6% from the floor, less than 27% from deep. It is fair to question and potentially criticize those numbers as an NBA draft prospect. But what I will say for somebody that loves college basketball, even the best and brightest college basketball player, your first team All-Americans, your National Player of the Year for two straight years, and a guy like Zach Edey does not necessarily translate with collegiate success to the best success at the NBA level. It is a different game entirely. Could Bronny James be a productive role player, maybe even a starter throughout his NBA career? For sure. And if you have the prospect of keeping or getting LeBron James, then it's a great draft pick. Certainly in this year's draft class in 2024. The Lakers a heavy favorite to draft Bronny James at plus 185. The New York Knicks have the second best number at 14-1. A little bit more around the draft lottery before we preview the doubleheader on this Monday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The reaction is already starting to pour out with the news that Bronny James is planning to remain in the NBA draft in 2024. Anyway, as we look at who actually is going to go in the opening round or maybe in those top couple of picks, again, it is not a great draft class. But Alexander Sarr, the native Frenchman who plays his pro basketball currently in Perth as a part of the NBA, or NBL, excuse me, that's the professional league down under. He is a hefty minus 190 odds on favorite to be that number one overall pick that potentially the Atlanta Hawks are going to make. There you see Donovan Klingon on your screen. 14-1 the number on Klingon. We would expect to see a couple of those Connecticut Huskies from last year's national championship team. Klingon and Steph Castle going in the top five, top 10. But really the story is Alexander Sarr going first overall, the presumptive favorite there. But everybody else behind him, not being all that strong of a draft class.
No, it's certainly not. Like the superstar front-level talent where you draft that the player, and it's like, okay, season tickets are about to go through the roof. That's not going to be in the equation. Because Donovan Klingon is a really good college basketball player, super athletic. But when we think about some of these guys that are supposed to be drafted in the top five, it's like, yeah, Klingon shoots like 45% from three-point range. He's going to be unbelievable. It's not really his game. He's just an athletic big man that's going to be able to run the court, which does have some value. But my goodness, third overall is kind of crazy. You take a look at Dillingham and Shepard, one of those guys, bench warmer coming off there. Now, granted, was on the bench because it made some sense to get that instant impact scoring. But come on, man. Shepard is a top five draft pick in the NBA. That's one of those guys you take a look at the end of the first round or the second round. You're like, oh, man, this guy could be pretty good here and fill in as an active shooter in the NBA. It's just the way this draft is going to play out. There's not a lot of excitement around it. And quite frankly, where will the superstars be? We won't know if this draft is really effective until five or 6 years down the road. But I got to tell you right now, the list of, oh, my goodness, we got to get this guy. And yes, if you got the number one pick, it's like, oh, who do we get? Some guy from France here. Well, it worked out well last year. I don't know if it works out as good this year.
Right. He is not Alexander Sarr, is not Victor Wembanyama. He is not that generational talent. There was so much notoriety around the NBA draft last year and the draft lottery because of Wemby, who ended up having an incredibly promising rookie campaign and winning NBA Rookie of the Year unanimously for only the sixth time in the history of the association. Alex Sarr is probably not that. Again, we'll continue to dive into the NBA draft. There will be the headlines around who goes number one, who goes top five, who goes in the lottery, and, of course, the story of Bronny James. But I do want to make this final point about the Detroit Pistons. Because, again, this year it doesn't really suck to drop from 1 to 5. Last year, a gut-wrenching punch to not be involved in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes despite having the worst record at 17-65. An even worse record this year at 14-68 in Monty Williams' debut year in Detroit. This is courtesy of Chris Vanini of The Athletic. In 18 NBA draft lotteries, the Pistons have moved up from their expected pick once. That was back in 2021 to draft second overall, and have dropped down from their expected selection 9 times, including the past 2 years when they had the worst record in one of the 3 best chances of drafting number 1 overall, to drop down by 4 spots both of the years. Again, this year, is it as debilitating as last year? Absolutely not. But does it stink and show the bad luck in the lottery for the Detroit Pistons? Boy, oh boy, does it ever. They have dropped down a total of 11 draft slots in the last 4 NBA draft lotteries. Not fun for those ping pong balls for this Pistons organization.
No, it doesn't. So get back on the court, win some basketball games. Don't keep looking next. True. You got some talent on that team. You signed the coach to one of the biggest contracts in the history of the NBA. There are no excuses for the Pistons just to say, like, well, we got to be in the top. We have to be a top 3 pick for 5 straight years in order to actually start to win games. Nonsense, man. Start winning some games. Just talent on that roster. Enough said here. Stop looking towards the draft to sort of bail you out.
And listen, that's a very fair point as well. Ah, bad luck for the Pistons. Win more games. Mm-hmm. Don't be involved in the draft lottery, or don't care as much about having to fall 4 draft slots. It is very much in your hands just because of that being the case. If you are in that position and scenario to have it work out the way it did, not all that great. By the way, around Victor Wembanyama, San Antonio will draft 4th and 8th overall in the top 10. Some draft assets to use. To maybe trade. Reportedly, San Antonio will be invested in looking after Trae Young, with Atlanta drafting 1st overall. Just some interesting stuff in the remainder of the draft lottery. For the first time as well, DRS, the NBA draft trying to follow the copy of the NFL, making the draft a bigger production from the TV side of things. It will be Wednesday and Thursday night this year. The opening round on Wednesday, June 26th, that second round on Thursday, June 27th. I know Donnie Wrightside will be tuned in.
Yeah, that's, I don't understand the thought process for that, because in the NBA, it's like, okay, you really only watch like basically the draft lottery, if most people even do that. Having a second night here to watch guys nobody's ever heard of get through there, you can do that in the NFL because there's still quality starters that you're going to get. You're going to get, guys are going to be throwing their names in there, and some of the analysts are like, okay, yeah, the guy's from Belarus, congratulations, and he probably won't make the NBA. I don't agree with this move here. That's a one-night affair because we only care about the first few picks in the NBA anyway.
Listen, maybe you're selling some Taco Bell ad space with the 41st overall pick in the second round, like one Nikola Jokic out of Serbia a few years ago. You never know what is going to happen in the NBA draft. I'm sure Commissioner Wrightside wants to get involved in the NBA league office to try to figure out this new schedule as well. So that's the NBA draft lottery, with the NBA draft coming our way in just about a month and a half. But what we have in terms of actual basketball is a doubleheader on this Monday night to start off a new week of NBA playoff action. Game 4s that feature both of the 1 seeds in both conferences on the road, but in different scenarios. Boston is up 2-1 after dismantling Cleveland in game number 3. OKC is down 2-1 after dropping 2 straight games against Dallas. What we saw from the weekend, what it means to start off this new week. Up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week live right here on the Early Line. A new week of playoff action around the association. That includes game number 4 of a doubleheader tonight. We have 2 games on this Monday, both game 4s, both featuring the number 1 overall seed in either conference. We start out west, game number 4 in Dallas. The Mavericks, a very slight 1-point home favorite against the Oklahoma City Thunder, minus 120 on the money line in favor of the Mavs. Just about 22 cents of difference. As we look at the total, it's 215 tonight for that over-under. Dallas has a 2-1 series lead, DRS, after winning the last 2 games of this set, including their first at home, 105-101 on Saturday evening. They were booked as a 2-point favorite. Total of 217 does stay under. We have now gone under in games 1 and 3 of this series. Dallas has won the last 2 games, covering in both. Outright as an underdog in game 2, as a very slight home favorite in game number 3. But what stands out to me, Dallas was a bigger favorite, and again, we're talking short numbers here, but a 2-point favorite in game number 2. It was back and forth. It was tightly contested. Dallas less of a favorite, despite having that 2-1 series advantage tonight in game number 4. It's just a point. It's just about 20 cents on the money line.
Yeah, 3 guys played over 40 minutes here. I should have said 40 minutes or more for the Dallas Mavericks in game number 3. That was Doncic, Irving, and P.J. Washington. How about P.J. Washington's 40 minutes? 11 of 23 from the field, 5 of 12 from three-point range, which included 27 total points. Because we always do that, hey, show me that box score before the game started. Well, Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving are just going to barely get above 20 points apiece at 22 and 22. That should be a win for OKC because we always do this. Well, what did SGA score? Of course, he scored 31 points in that game, and they were still able to not get a victory, which now it's put up or shut up time tonight. But if we are just looking at lines here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and saying, what makes the most sense in this game? That is a lot of respect for OKC at a +1 price. Yeah. You say, with Donnie, what kind of respect is that? They're not even favorites here. Being a road favorite in a playoff game is really hard to do, and they're just on the cusp of doing that. But if we're looking at the betting statistics at the FanDuel Sportsbook tonight, 64% of those spread wagers still coming in here on the Dallas Mavericks. This is one of those games that we take a look at and say, when your back is up against the wall, which in round number 1, OKC didn't have that. They even won game number 1 on their home court. Now you want to see how they handled adversity. They lost in game number 3. You can't lose game number 4. I like OKC tonight, and I think they're getting a lot of respect with only getting 1 point on the road here tonight, Ben.
Yeah, I would agree. Listen, they didn't get blown out in game 3. They didn't go on the road after losing game 2, booked as a 5-point home favorite in OKC against the Mavericks, and say, all right, that wasn't our game. It did not work out in game 3. They lost the game by 4 as a 2-point road underdog in their third road playoff game with this young core. I remain optimistic about this Oklahoma City team. Tonight's total at 215 is the lowest we have seen in any of the 4 games so far in this set. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, sensational in game number 3, 31 points, 10 boards, 6 dimes. You know who has been great for Dallas in these last 2 victories? Not Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, who were really solid in game number 3 on Saturday, each scoring 22 points. It's been P.J. Washington leading the charge from deep, 27 points in back-to-back games, making at least 5 triples in games 2 and 3. That, I think, has been the difference, Donnie, for the Mavericks taking this 2-1 series lead.
Haven't we always talked about that with the Dallas Mavericks? You know, you got 2 superstars. Somebody else has to step up. They've been finding that. And also, as we talk about those B players here, the Batmans and Robins, we expect to play well. But give me those secondary guys who play better at home. Let's see what Washington has once again tonight, because that's one of those guys that, look, if he's hitting 5 straight 3 or 5 3-point shots or more a night, they're going to win more of the basketball games than they lose, because you know you're going to get honest efforts out of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in that backcourt. Big game tonight. Let's see what the Thunder have.
P.J. Washington, points prop tonight, again, after back-to-back games of 27 each, 15.5. Sure, he went under that number in game 1, only scoring 10. His 3-point prop, is 2.5, and the over is even money. There's a plus sign there on the over. Again, you can correlate that. If P.J. Washington's going to score at least 16 points and flirt with that points prop to the over, he's going to be making at least 3-3. So Dallas now the pretty hefty series outright favorite at minus 220. Again, home floor advantage for this fourth game, already up 2-1. I am already invested in Oklahoma City coming back as the series outright underdog. I bet that after game two, I believe in that juicy plus money price here entering game number four. We go now to Cleveland for game four tonight between the Celtics and the Cavs up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'll tell you one thing. The Boston Celtics in the playoffs kind of crack me up. They either win every game by double digits, covering as a relatively hefty favorite, or they lose outright in stunning fashion by double digits as a hefty favorite to an underdog on their own home floor. 8 playoff games now for Boston, Donnie. They have won 6 by double digits by at least 13 points, covering as a favorite in all 6 wins, or they have lost twice in game two of both of their series on their own home floor by double digits, booked as at least a 13-point home favorite. All of it doesn't really make sense, but Boston continues when they need to show it, prove why they are the best team in the NBA. That included game three on Saturday night in Cleveland, a relatively easy win for the C's, 106-93, covering as a 7.5-point favorite in the land. A total of 211 does stay under, which brings us to game number four tonight in Cleveland, where again, the expectation is for Boston to win relatively comfortably. 9-point favorite in favor of the C's, a total at 207 and a hook, now down by 3.5 points from what that closing number was for game number three.
Yeah, maybe this is just a sign of the times, and the best bet you can make is wait for the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Finals in game number two and take them to lose outright with a nice little money line dog price, and then also do the same thing in the NBA Finals if they get there. But having said that, also here's the MO for the Boston Celtics. Let's win the first game. Let's lose the second game and then say, all right, enough of this nonsense. You got our attention. Let's wipe these teams off the court. 106-93 on the road, easily handling the Cleveland Cavaliers. And some of us, including myself, expect probably the same sort of effort tonight. We're taking a look at that 7.5 price point for game number three. Now it's actually increased. And if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook betting numbers here, 62% of the total bets here coming in on the Boston Celtics as a 9-point favorite on the road, which is pretty incredible. But if we're getting back to the box score of that previous game, what do we always think about? In the biggest moments, you want your superstars to play well. 28 points out of Jaylen Brown, 33 points out of Jason Tatum. You take a look at Holiday chips in with 18 points, and away you go. That's what you expect out of this. And also keep in mind, with every day that goes by, Kristaps Porzingis, who's a start in that lineup, probably getting healthier by the day to come back, because Al Horford, who actually thought would make at least 2 3-point shots, went 0-6 in their game three game, only scoring 2 points here. But it didn't matter. The Celtics just a better team than the Cavaliers. And the thing that we always trusted was, yes, the Celtics are good, but also we don't trust that Cleveland Cavaliers offense all that much.
No, we certainly do not. And Cleveland stays under 95 once again. They scored over 100 on the road for the first time of this playoffs in game number two inside TD Garden. 118, absolutely shellacking the Boston Celtics. But it's a similar story now for the second round set for Boston as we saw in the opening round against Miami. Uncharacteristically, or maybe it is characteristically at this point, lose game number two in a stunner, make a statement like, all right, now you guys woke up the big dog in game number three. I still am a little bit wary of that being the winning recipe for Boston moving forward. Maybe not in the Eastern Conference Finals, but into the NBA Finals. But still, Boston in game three takes heavy advantage. And Donnie, to your point, it was a 7.5-point spread in favor of the Celtics for that third game. It's now 9 tonight. The 7.5-point spread in Game 3 was the shortest number in favor of the Celtics in any of their 8 postseason games so far. They have been at least a 9-point favorite, including tonight, in all of the other 8. That is the expectation from the odds makers for Boston. And again, they're 6-2 straight up in this postseason. They are also 6-2 against the spread. Donnie, they have also gone under in 6 of 8 games so far in this postseason run, including games 3 and game 1. Or actually, that game went over. Game 2 went under, but it only went over because they scored 120 and Cleveland scored 95. Conversely, for the Cavaliers, they have been an underdog now in all 3 games of this series. 3 times on the road in Orlando. They are 1-5, both straight up and against the spread. So I'll just say this. I think there's a world Boston can win tonight and maybe not cover as a 9-point favorite, despite the fact they are both 6-2 straight up and against the spread so far this postseason. If you think Cleveland keeps this game close, it's a money line bet as well, in my estimation. DRS, do you have any faith in Cleveland eking one more win out? Because as we look at the series prices, it's minus 10,000 now outright for the C's to win this series. It's minus 290 for this to be the second consecutive gentleman sweep for Boston so far in these playoffs.
Yeah, not loving it here, but this is what we expected, right? It's really hard in the NBA to get sweeps. It's not, they should have swept the Heat, they should have swept the Cavaliers, nonsense stuff. And maybe you shouldn't lose a game on your home court, but having said that, they've rebounded quite well from round number one, losing a game number two, to wiping the Heat off the board, and then you're going to see it with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, a lot of respect towards the Celtics tonight as that 9-point favorite. But if I'm being honest, go back to game number 3 here, and some of these things can certainly be used going forward. That was a 13-point victory for the Boston Celtics. What I've been preaching to, if you're looking to take the Cleveland Cavaliers, forget about them taking the points itself here. Just take Donovan Mitchell, because you saw in that last game, yeah, they got beat by 13 points, didn't cover the spread, Ben, but what did he have? 12 of 22 from the floor, 7 of 12 from three-point range, and 33 points, and it still didn't matter. So tonight, when you look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and you take a look at the props market, you'll see that points prop on Mitchell at 30.5. It's the same thing. If he scores 35 points, there's a chance that they still might not cover, but you know they'll still be in that basketball game. And quite frankly, if he scores 22 points, you know there was no chance that the Cleveland Cavaliers cover. It's just a correlation. Forget about the actual line itself. Just look at Donovan Mitchell. You could take him, he could have a monster game, they can win and or lose, and he could still get that points prop here, as opposed to saying, oh, I hope Cleveland can hang around within double digits tonight.
Really good point. 30.5, the number, as Donnie mentioned, even money on the over, not the expected outcome, but Spida has scored at least 29 points for Cleveland in 6 straight games, 31 plus in 5 of those 6 over this points prop for tonight. Game high 33 points alongside Jason Tatum on the other side, who had 33 in game number 3. First time in this postseason run for Boston that Tatum has scored 30 or more. Again, it's minus 290 for the Celtics to win this series in 5 games. And Donnie, we showed those odds for the Eastern Conference back in the opening hour with how this series is now once again playing out, with how the series between Indiana and New York is shaping up, tied at 2 games all. The Knicks shorthanded, a very slight favorite for game number 5 tomorrow night inside Madison Square Garden. Everything is coming up Boston. They're minus 600 to win the Eastern Conference crown at this moment. And the Knicks still have the second best price out east at plus 850. We did this case with Connecticut. We have compared UConn to other teams in terms of what is the rightful favored number, even approaching minus money. Now, UConn never got to minus 600, even in that national championship game against Purdue. But it's the same argument in terms of trying to find value elsewhere. We pointed to teams, or maybe we failed to point to teams, Donnie, that could truly match up against UConn. Could you favor a team against the Huskies? No, at least in the Eastern Conference, there's no team I point to and say, hey, now that's a test for the Celtics on the horizon.
Exactly, and that's where we're going to have to wait till the NBA Finals here. But also, you can't win a championship unless you get to the NBA Finals. The Celtics, a much easier path than anybody out there in the Western Conference. Also, big news for tonight as well that you probably want to watch out for. Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen both listed as questionable. Now, one's a good sign. Jared Allen, he's questionable, which means there's a chance that he possibly could play. We'll see if he does. But Donovan Mitchell, questionable with that calf injury, that's never a good sign. So maybe you should watch some of the tea leaves a little bit later in this afternoon. And also because, hey, he might go for 13 points in the first quarter and then has that heat pack around his calf. And said and done, it's a wrap on that game tonight. So buyer beware of Donovan Mitchell if he has a little bit of an issue with that calf strain.
Props listed for Spida. No props out just yet for Jarrett Allen in this series. More around the association up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of Game 4s yesterday on a Sunday to end the weekend. Two more Game 4s tonight on this Monday. A doubleheader of NBA playoff action. So we'll take this time, and please allow us, to set the stage for what we are seeing here in the NBA postseason. As we're about to change venue once again tomorrow night in the NBA. One final game at the site of the teams that don't have home floor advantages in these series here on this Monday. So let's look back, Donnie, on what we saw over the weekend. The Denver Nuggets even up the series, winning outright twice as an underdog on the road in Minneapolis. Indiana did the same, but at home in Indy. As we compare these two series, it's not exactly the same billing. And despite the fact that Denver won twice on the road and is taking on Minnesota, returning home to altitude with that home floor advantage, I actually feel better about the Pacers' chances of winning the series outright than I even do with the reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets.
Yes, and also it's a good point you bring up too, because we're not saying that, the Nuggets probably can't win this series. No, the Nuggets probably should win it. But if we're looking at the Knicks, it was like, how much longer can we hold off other NBA teams when we're not at our best or even our healthiest at this point? And you saw that final game four to even up that series was a blowout. And you say, well, how does it get better for the Knicks? Well, you just wave that magic wand and say Brunson goes 16 for 27 from the field, a couple three-point shots, gets to the free throw line, scores 45 points, and DiVincenzo makes 6 3-point shots. That's harder said than done. So I agree with you in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's becoming very, very difficult. The New York Knicks have been shorthanded the entirety of this magical playoff run. We knew that was going to be the case without Julius Randle entering the postseason. And you can debate Julius Randle's ceiling as 1A to Jalen Brunson or even number two. But in terms of just a capable NBA player in a starting lineup, there is no doubt that Julius Randle would have been a very positive addition to this New York Knicks team in the postseason. Then you lose Mitchell Robinson, taking away some more depth for Tom Thibodeau and New York, and of course, most drastically, OG Anunoby here in this series, who Dr. Donnie has called it from the start. Not sure we're going to see him again in this set. Certainly doubtful, it would seem, for game number 5 tomorrow night inside Madison Square Garden. And Indiana has evened the series at 2 games all. Great. Every team has won on their own home floor. But the Pacers are now a minus money series outright favorite to win this set in advance of the Eastern Conference Finals, despite the New York Knicks, Donnie, having home floor advantage, and despite being a home favorite tomorrow night inside Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are still the favorites tomorrow in game number 5 at a 2.5-point spread, minus 138 on the money line. That's peculiar because Indiana is the series outright favorite. Again, things change so drastically in these series odds on a game-to-game basis, but I think it should show you the overall outlook of the Pacers winning this series, even with New York being an outright favorite tomorrow night in game number 5.
There's a lot of what have you done for me lately, which we really liked what we saw going back to Indiana. You win both of those games, you head back to New York with momentum. But also keep in mind in those first 2 games here, Indiana probably should have won at least one of those games. So you should be heading back maybe even a 3-1 price here where you're lucky that it's tied. But also when you're talking about those betting correlations, which again, I'm sort of backing off that Cleveland Cavaliers stance tonight, which is why that line is 9 maybe. If you have a little bit of a calf injury status here on Donovan Mitchell and you're not going to get his A game, good luck here for the Cleveland Cavaliers. this, but we don't know. And sometimes it's just like, yeah, I banged it up a little bit and it might be a bruise as opposed to a strain at this point. I'll be fine for the game, talking about Donovan Mitchell. But as you're moving forward, like for the Knicks, if you're betting the game, right? And I know this game isn't today, it's tomorrow, but just think about this. We always going to expect like Brunson to have a big game. If he's out there, he's healthy enough to be there. I'll take a majority of the shots. But wouldn't you just bet like Josh Hart and also Dante DiVincenzo's maybe points or rebounds to the over? Because if you're going to get that same performance, the Knicks aren't going to win this series and or the basketball game in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. So as much as I say like, ooh, that was a terrible performance out of Hart and also DiVincenzo, those guys are supposed to play better on their home court. And for any chance for the Knicks to win this game and the series, those two guys got to perform at a high level at this point. So some interesting betting intricacies as we can say for that Knicks game. If you just don't want to bet that side, there's a couple players that you could point to for sure.
Again, there is one silver lining from getting blown out by 32 points in an NBA playoff game. If you are New York, you finally got some rest for the guys that are probably going to be expected to play 45 plus minutes tomorrow night in game number 5. Jalen Brunson only played three, and I understand why that's the case. We're trying to make a silver lining for a team that lost by 32. And the reason they didn't play that many minutes is because they lost by 32. But there is somewhat of a small benefit from that. Jalen Brunson only played 31 minutes in game 4 yesterday in Indy. It is the least amount he has played so far in the NBA postseason, and that included game 2 at MSG when he missed the entirety of quarter number 2. Josh Hart, who has been averaging basically 48 minutes per game, playing every single minute, played 24, half of his normal availability. So there is that. And Jalen Brunson's number for tomorrow night, 32.5. We saw that get up to 37.5 in game number 2. And he might have gone over the number had he not missed the entirety of the second quarter, only scoring 29 points. If you think New York is going to outlast Indiana, Jalen Brunson is the reason why. Yes, they need good nights from Josh Hart and our guy Tay-Tay, but Brunson is the reason why. And that points prop in the span of 2 games has dropped by 5 points. I love the over if you think New York is relatively competitive in game number 5 at 32.5. Donnie, how do you feel about the series between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves? The reigning NBA champs show off that postseason pedigree, but Minnesota should not just be overlooked. Like, hey, they won 2 on the road, but they're going to lose the rest of this series.
I really like the Timberwolves still in this series. And I understand that you lost a lot of momentum and you weren't even looking at the sweep here. Just win one of those two games after how well you played in Denver, that would have been enough to handle that series. But now you're back up against it. Best of 3 on home court advantage now for the Nuggets. But again, leaning back on what we've seen, they played very well. Talking about the Timberwolves in Denver here. They shouldn't be scared. Like, oh my goodness, we can't win in elevation. They did that already. I would not be surprised if the Timberwolves do win game number 5. I wouldn't.
4 road games for the T-Wolves in this postseason. They've been an underdog in all 4. They've won outright in all 4. NFL talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL schedule release day is on Wednesday. That's this Wednesday, May 15th. But over the next 48 hours, leading up until Wednesday and then all Wednesday long, we're going to have those schedule release leaks. But it wasn't so much the case on this Monday morning as we got some important dates on the NFL calendar announced. That includes the opening game of the 2024 NFL season. We knew the Chiefs, the 2-time reigning Super Bowl champions, would be at home playing host inside Arrowhead. But who would the opponent be? We got confirmation on this Monday to start off a new week. It's the Baltimore Ravens. The rematch of the AFC Championship game from a season ago is how 2024 begins. Lamar Jackson and the flock against Patrick Mahomes and KC Thursday, September 5th, the opening night of the 2024 National Football League season.
Yeah, if you don't get excited for the National Football League after getting these type of announcements, something is wrong with you, because the NFL this season, opening up on a Thursday night, then a Friday night, then a full slate on Sunday, and then Monday night as well. This is going to be a tremendous opening week, and they gave you some 10 bell games. Eagles and the Packers are going to be a great one from Brazil, but also talking about opening night, which we're so excited to see this, because this could be a preview of the AFC Championship game in week number one. Now, if we rewind last year, you saw 21-20, the Chiefs in their home building on Super Bowl night, raising the banner, got beat by the Detroit Lions. Are we anticipating that going to happen this year? Probably not, but a slight favorite here towards Kansas City. And to be honest with you, man, Lamar Jackson is an underdog, is one of the better bets in football, man. They are going to be coming in loaded with a new look to their offensive running game. Lamar Jackson, you know, is going to be healthy and like shot out of a cannon in week number one. Should be a fantastic matchup that we're all going to get interested about. And also, I can't wait to see the numbers on Ravens Chiefs for opening night.
Absolutely so. They are going to be astronomical. There is going to be a huge audience for this game. The Detroit Lions last year being placed on opening night, on Super Bowl night in Kansas City, was that litmus test for the Lions, a team with a ton of optimism. America's team the previous 2 years under the fighting kneecap guy in Dan Campbell. Could they match that expectation? Entering a season booked as a favorite to win a divisional crown in the NFL for the first time in 30 years. The answer was yes for Detroit all year long. This year, though, it's not so much a litmus test. It is the expected mountaintop in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs, the two-time reigning champs, booked as the favorites to win the AFC once again at plus 370. Just over a dollar behind, it's the Baltimore Ravens at plus 490. And Donnie, as we tried to estimate who that opening night opponent would be for Kansas City, we looked at the Texans, maybe that team with optimism like the Lions a year ago, or maybe the Bengals with the return of Joe Burrow, or the potential of an AFC Championship game rematch between the Ravens and the Chiefs, and that's what we get. And it's not just the rematch, but maybe a very, very, very early preview, as those two numbers I just referenced, plus 370 for Kansas City, plus 490 for the Flock, the two best prices to win the AFC entering this new year.
Yes, and it's going to be good to watch out, too. Two of the best quarterbacks in football going toe-to-toe in opening night. And also keep in mind, like we said, like last year was a little bit interesting because it was an AFC opponent and an NFC opponent. Now, granted, Detroit really set the stage for we're going to have a pretty good season this year based on what we anticipated. And quite frankly, a nice little upset on Thursday Night Football. But flipping it back over to this year, boy, oh boy, you talk about getting a win in the AFC in this game. That's a game and a half lead that you're going to have in the standings here. That is going to be massive. And boy, come on, it's May 13th. Can we just skip the summer, Ben? Can we just get the opening night in the NFL? Come on.
It already feels like we're looking forward to fall in such a way. And Donnie's point is incredibly sound. Yeah, we might focus on a game that could decide the fate of the AFC or who has home field advantage as the number one seed throughout the postseason, week 15 in late December. Remember this game the very first night of the 2024 NFL season. And Donnie, I made this point as we start to talk about the schedule, because it is the middle of May and whatever. We're probably not betting game one lines until we get to that opening week in September. But I love seeing how the odds makers compare two teams against each other. Yes, there are the win totals and the divisional prices and the conference title odds and those Super Bowl odds. But Kansas City at home, just a 2.5-point favorite, less than that key number of 3, as the odds are out for the opening night of the year against Baltimore. Total at 46.5. And to Donnie's point about Baltimore as an underdog under John Harbaugh, now more than 15 years, 55-34-6 against the number. Second best, only behind Pittsburgh in that span. Hour 3 comes your way after the break here on Sports Grid.